Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
You know, I find that as a pastor and a minister, I would hope that I don't have a different observation of things than all of us brethren. I hope my observations are the same. My Bible teaches us that we come into the same mind. We don't pierce each other through, nor do we break ranks. We come to the same judgment. So I think biblically speaking, if I'm a spirit-filled man of God, or a spirit-filled son of God, or a spirit-filled Christian, then I should say that my analyzations and my judgments should be the same as yours. Amen. That would be the proper biblical way to assess and look at things. But then yet, there's things that you, possibly I, or we all have, being all men's hearts fashion like, are iniquities. Many of us don't like to speak about iniquities because we all were born and shaped in iniquity. And again, our hearts all fashioned alike. So just as I say, as a child of God, I should be able to identify, and we should be able to come to the same page, we might say, or the same analyzation, or the same mind of judgment. But then yet, as a man, I think I could speak and understand your weaknesses, your shortcomings, your failures, and things of your life. So it should be relatively, I guess I'll use the expression, easy to be able to do that. And I know that we have other factors that come involved with spirits, people yielding to spirits, giving place to spirits. You know, iniquities manifest, and their realm of manifestation is through your soul, and to come and manifest itself and open the gate or the door to spiritual wickedness or spiritual things. That's where the door of the iniquities are going to come through the soul. We find that everything that is happening and taking place is coming through the soul realm. The soul's redeemed by yielding itself and the members of the flesh to the Spirit of Christ. The soul is deemed, or doomed, I should say, to eternal damnation when you yield the members of your outer garment or your man or your flesh or the woman, we could say, to the lustful desires of this world. I would like to find you with a hunger for the Word. I made three attempts to get into some revelation. One was on Wednesday night before I left here. I went back to the same passage of scriptures and I read them again here. I was able to say some things, and I appreciate your diligence, obedience, your love, respect for God and coming to the house of God. But again, I found that the Lord was not allowing me to expound on the things that are rich. And the things that I could say the term deep, but some would think that I was being haughty or lifted up if I said that. But the things of God are deep. And when he takes a man through love and humility and he expounds or reveals or shows the mysteries of God to him, they are deep and they're hid from the world and they're hid from the wise and prudent. They're hid from the proud, the arrogant. They're hid. So, I trust when I speak by the revelation or the mind of God that these things are not hid from you, because I've seen at different times different individuals grasp and get a hold of some things. I try to be merciful and spare. I know some think that I just reprove and rebuke all the time. And I don't think I do, and maybe I'm blind. But I do know there's a lot of exhortation that goes forth here. But I know my grandchildren, sometimes they come over and stay at Pops' house. They probably think I reprove and rebuke or paddle or chasten all the time. But as long as there's a disobedience, I have an obligation of that. And the thing is, I do know that steadfastness or a steadiness in those things will yield forth the benefits and bring us into being partakers and benefactors of the kingdom of God. And I know that we come into the kingdom through suffering. Now I know that maybe you've heard another gospel. But let's pray, and maybe the Lord will help us this evening. Most gracious Father, as we stand together before you this night, Father, dependent upon you, Lord God, if anything would be said from this sacred desk, or if anything would be heard this night, Lord God, if any ear would be opened, or any heart would perceive, or any eye understand, Lord God, it would be the glory to you and the praise and the honor to you, because I know these things are either granted by your Spirit, Lord God, and discernment of your Spirit, or they're either hid by your will, Lord God, and by your desire to hide it from the heart of the wise. But Father, I ask you, Lord God, to help us this night. Lord God, in the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You can all be seated. I was listening to a message that was preached over in about the mid-70s by Brother Pike. And he called some young people up on his platform to testify. And he watched and listened and discerned the thoughts, the heart, the intents of the heart, and things, and he offered some exhortation and also some praise to the parents. And he talked to the parents, he said to some, he said, you know, I appreciate you teaching your children to love the pastor. He said, I appreciate you teaching them that, because the pastor will be the one to lead them into the kingdom. And I know parents have an obligation to do so too, but if your parents teach your children to disrespect the pastor, they're signing a death certificate for them. There's parents that sit in churches, and if they're going to smite the shepherd, they should go to another place, because they're going to bring damnation to themselves. But besides that, they're so foolish that they don't realize that they're destroying and killing their own children. And I marvel. I mean, you know, we look into the world and we think of the magnitude, I guess I could say, of abortion, and think about these children being killed or martyred, we might say, in the womb. You know, we can think tragic, or, you know, however you want to think about that. But then yet, we start looking more down dimensions and start looking and understanding. And I make statements about the Catholic Pope. People get offended. You shouldn't say that. Don't you have the fear of God? You know, this and that. But you see, he is a mass murderer. You know, you take a man in a state or in a city, if he would kill 12 people, 10 people, they would call him a serial killer. And it would be all over the news, the newspapers, throughout the entire world. But then yet, people that call themselves Christian would go and defend a pope and say, you can't speak against God's man. And they would defend him. And this man would have literal millions of people's blood on their hands. Now, if I was to pull a handgun out from behind the sacred desk here and I started killing people, you know, people would go crazy in this church, and they'd have the right to. But then yet, they turn on television evangelists on a daily basis. They turn on preachers, they turn on things, and they're absolutely destroying and killing. There's people that send their children off to the public school system, and their minds are being perverted. I know you could get an education and you could learn there, but there's too much other filth and foolishness that is being indoctrinated. And there's things that children are being taught that they can't do. You can't mention the Lord and Savior Jesus. You can't do this, but you could talk about Muhammad. Our country's gone mad. It's literally gone mad. And I know this isn't a new revelation to you, but I'm speaking. You know, we could talk about the failure of our country, our nation, the government, the medical field, the education system. We could talk about the failures of the homes in America. We could talk about the failures of parents. They put their children now into daycares, send them off to school. Sometimes they come to church and just send them off in Sunday school. It's just, okay, we're getting rid of the kids again. And they have this mindset. And they're never questioning or talking to the children. What are you learning? What are you being taught? And fellowshipping with their children. There's not a greater responsibility than being a parent. But then yet, I see that we, as my father once said, He said, I wished I had the wisdom or the understanding that I gained after raising three boys. I could say after pastoring a church for over 17 years, I say I wish I could have started out with some of the wisdom I gained in 17 years. I wish I could have had that when I started. But things don't work that way. There's mercy for those reasons, grace for those kind of reasons. We're commanded in the scriptures not to take the grace to lasciviousness, or we're not to take it to the advantage of the flesh. We take it to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and our Savior. There's so many things that we look into this world and that we see. We quote Romans 1:20 on a continuous basis from the sacred desk, that the unseen things of the spirit world are revealed to us by the things which appear. The Bible teaches that. I'll read you a scripture right here. It says in 1 Corinthians the 10th chapter, going at the first verse, says, Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat. Now he's talking about something natural, and he's speaking about something spiritual. You know he's talking about the manna that rained down. It says, and all drank the same spiritual drink. Now to them it was a water coming forth out of the ground. He smelt the rock, and you know the story. For they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. So there was a significance going there. The manna, we know what it had to do with. We know what the water had to do with. It was an allegory. We know what the Red Sea had to do with. They all came across, were baptized. It was showing the blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they all came common. But why are they saying these things? It's because here we all sit in front of a pastor and we see things. And let me tell you the foolishness with humanity. There's men that even go here that were privileged to sit under Brother Pike. But they go back in their mind and say, well, it was different then. That violates the word. Baptist people will get together and say, well, God's different today. You know, this tongues and stuff is, you know, that was back then, it ain't today. Well, that's a violation of the word. He's the same to every generation. Brother Branham's been gone for 50 years. Just about my whole life. So did God stop back then? Did God stop 17 years ago when Brother Pike died? But then yet people will take and crucify these men. They'll speak with no fear of God whatsoever and talk about them. But when they were around him in his presence, those men's heart would melt. They wouldn't even speak because it was an anointing of the Holy Ghost on this brother. And they would be fearful to even open their mouth. But if we went and we spoke about the Sanhedrin for a moment, we could read, it's recorded in the scriptures of these hideous acts that they done to our Lord and dealing with our brethren, the apostles, the cruelty, and even to the point of taking them and demanding that the Roman government put them to death as they did the Lord Jesus. There were others. Many others were taken, beheaded. Many things took place. But then yet, these were the religious. Jesus said, I got the nail prints in the house of my friends. The Roman government said, I wash my hands. The Pilate, he said, I wash my hands. It's not on me, but he said, it's on you. And they said, let it be on us, on our children's children and them that are afar off. We look at the Holocaust and the things that the Jewish people have been through since they've done those things to the Lord. But see, as we read right here and we talk about the water coming forth from the rock, the manna coming down out of heaven, and we just look at this as some allegoric or some past tense historic thing, we've missed the revelation of the Lord. If we look at the Lord Jesus coming and walking among man in the crucifixion, we've missed what the Lord has done and what he's doing. You see, we want to talk about the goodness of God. We want to talk about great men of God. We want to talk about Jesus, how he dealt with humanity. You know, he suffered. He loved them. They spit on him. They nailed him to the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. But then yet, those things are written and recorded for you and I as an example. What's the expectation of you and I? But then yet, we'll look at a preacher and we hold him to that expectation, but we don't hold ourselves to that kind of an expectation. And where is the difference? The difference between the preacher and the person, and we could say the lay person, is possibly just a little responsibility, but we got to produce the same fruit. Do you realize that when I was learning to fly, the flight instructor had a responsibility to teach me? But he was teaching me something that I had to do, and I had the same responsibility he did. When he got out of the airplane, I was responsible for being in control and command of that airplane. And if I'm up here teaching you, and you could talk about my responsibility, what am I teaching? I'm teaching you your responsibility. I'm teaching you the conduct of Christianity. We've all made the mistake of learning about the blood of Jesus and stopping there. You see, when a child is in the womb of a mother, it's in a little water world, isn't it? You know, and it's in this little water world, and the water's broken, and then the little child comes forth. You can understand that, but it's not no longer relative to that water world when it's birthed and it comes out. The blood's already flowing in its veins and different things, but it starts taking in oxygen now through the lungs when it comes out of that water world. And it's taking that oxygen, distributing it through the blood supply, and it's a blood life. Now the thing is Jesus came in that blood realm and that blood life and shed his blood because the corruption, his blood wasn't corrupted, but the corruption is the blood. And you see, in your life, you take the blood out of you, you're dead. In the water world, the plant life out here, you take the water away and they die. Blood life, the blood life dies. In the spiritual realm, you remove the Spirit of God, it's death. Because it's the Spirit of life. The other spirits are spirits of death. They're temporal. Except they have an eternal thing, but they eternally will find themselves in destruction and damnation. So when we start trying to look at the scriptures and we find here pointing to the life of Christ, then we come to the next step, to the life of Christ, and then we got to go to the next step. And what happens is we stop. As we say so oftentimes, people pleading the blood of Jesus over and over. There's no Bible for that. We say, oh, but the Bible says 70 times 7 talking about forgiveness of sin. I understand those things, brethren. But it's talking to you for you to show forth forgiveness. But the blood of Jesus does not atone for willful sin. We got Bible for it. You read about it in the 10th chapter of Hebrews and the 6th chapter both. You see, when you've been born of God, it's just like the child as it went through the water realm and then it was birthed. It was no longer dependent upon that water world no more, that water in the womb. It was no longer being sustained alive through the placenta there. And when a man or a woman comes through the motions and they're receiving this spiritual birth, been washed in the blood of the Lamb, been washed by the blood, and their sins atoned for. Then they come into another world. It's another world of spirit. You see, the Bible teaches to pray in the Spirit, doesn't it? It teaches us to walk in the Spirit and be led by the Spirit and to think on spiritual things. Think on the things from above. The Bible said the things of God have to be spiritually discerned. You see, the blood mind, the blood world, the carnal mind, the natural mind is relative to this world and it gleans education and things from this world. But then yet it is a filter and a way to pass through to find the spirit world and the spirit mind. There's a door there. And what we do so oftentimes, and I refer to this message occasionally, that I ministered many years ago before we even built this church, but they entitled it the Soul Realm Religion. And see, many people are sufficed in the soul realm. The soul realm has both light and darkness there. And you say, oh, but Brother Rob, the Bible says light and darkness cannot intermingle or twain. I said, that's only in the spiritual realm. Because the spiritual dimension of light in Christ, there's no darkness there. There can't be no darkness there because the light eradicates the darkness. But in the second dimension, it has to do with the twilight and the reflection realm. And in this reflection realm, you got both worlds. The Bible says light being veiled within the darkness. You see, and the Bible talks about letting the day star shine upon our hearts. So there's an inward quickening spirit. The Bible says that the first man, Adam, was a living soul, and the second man, Adam, was a quickening spirit. You see, the quickening spirit has to do with light, and the living soul has to do with this temporal life of man and humanity. So we find that the door, we find that the avenue to know and find this invisible God in the spiritual dimension is through this mortal body and through this mortal flesh. You see, people want to have a relationship with God without having a relationship with man. And they think they can do that through the means of the Spirit. But in this dimension, God goes through the realms of man for everything. You see, if you go back all the way to even after, are you saying, preacher, that God doesn't speak to us by the Spirit? And I didn't say that. But let me tell you what God says to you when he speaks to you by the Spirit. I know what he says. He's a God of order. He's a God of revelation. And he chose to use his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he dwelled within him in the fullness, and he walked among men in a temporal, mortal body. He said he suffered him not to see corruption, though only the mortal would see corruption, and the Spirit redeemed that mortal part back and brought it forth out of hell and redeemed it back as a true, genuine resurrection. So the thing is that we had to make him twain, both mortal and immortal, both Lord and both Christ, both Son of Man, both Son of God. And we made him twain. The difference between him and you and I is he came without measure. And he was not come through the reproduction of mankind in that perspective of the man, from the loins of a man, I should say. But he came from faith through the Spirit, through this woman. Now the second birth is the same way. There was a pattern there that we see, just as we look at a pattern here of the Christ in the water. And here's this woman that comes along and was a virgin, had not been in any natural relationship with a man. And the brother that espoused himself to her, Joseph, he done that for her life could be spared. Because in that day and hour, a woman found outside of wedlock with child could have been stoned to death under their law. So he espoused himself to her. But then yet the Bible records that he did not know her. He had no relationship with her until after Jesus Christ was born. Now the thing is the Catholic Church teaches an Immaculate Conception. They said that she was a virgin all of her life. But see, that's not Bible. Jesus had some half-brothers, we could say, that records their names in the Scripture. So we do know this. So we have to rend the veil between him. Now when God says in his Scriptures, and we know that his Scriptures are true, and they do not lie and cannot lie, but in the Scriptures we know that God is the Spirit of life, and that he cannot die, and he has no mother nor father. Now we see the Son of Man speaking, he had no beginning, no end, no mother, no father, but then yet we look over, so we've got to see and rend the veil between the Son of Man and the Son of God. And you say, well, you've taught us these things, Brother Rob. These are foundational things that if we would grasp a hold of, some of the other things that we would like to teach would be available to you, because you got some fundamental revelational facts in your spirit and your mind. I got people that sat under Brother Pike for years. And the thing is they've never got some of these foundational dimensional things, and they fight it, and they will never be able to come to the real revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when a man receives the revelation of God, it's the Spirit of revelation, and that has to do with the Spirit of holiness and the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of holiness is also the Spirit of love. And when you have hate, anger, bitterness, wrath, malice, envy, strife, jealousy, drunkenness, idolatry, fornication, all these things, you cannot be a Spirit-filled man or woman. You could fool yourself, and because of the teaching of Billy Graham, because of the teaching of Joel Osteen, because of the teachings of Benny Hinn, because of the teachings of these fallen angels that have found themselves and climbed up into the upper lintels through the soul of man, and projecting themselves as angels of light, and projecting themselves as ministers of the gospel, but the Bible said they're ministers of Satan, transforming themselves into ministers of light. Now, I know I'm using personalities here, and this could be very offensive to you. But the thing is, Billy Graham destroyed the evangelistic Christianity in his day back many, many years ago, known to be one of the greatest evangelists of America. But the Bible said they surpass land and sea and make twofold more the child of hell. And let me tell you what Billy Graham brought to the evangelistic world. Say this prayer and repeat this prayer after me, and you're a child of God. That's a lie from hell. Brethren, the only way that you could be a child of God is by being receiving his Spirit. And I know that we confess with our mouth, but the thing is believing in the heart is another thing that man has a problem with. And the other thing is that they've taken, and they'll always counterfeit the things of God. But one thing that they won't ever try to counterfeit is the name of Jesus. So then they go and start using other things. The baptism in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ is one of the most important doctrines that is out there. But because of Catholicism and because of doctrines of devils and things, they've taken and manipulated and modified the doctrine of the Word of God through Catholicism in the Nicene Council is when they brought this in. And the Protestant, if they would realize that they are the child of Catholicism, because it was the protest, the Catholics had protested against the Catholics. They protested. So when they protested and put those theses, I believe they called it, nailed it to the door of the Catholic Church, the brother put his life in danger. Now, he was a genuine church age messenger, talking about Luther. Now, he was a church age messenger, put his life on the line, but he was still a Catholic priest. So when he came out with a revelation. And the revelation that he came out with changed the church world. It was a progression of the sevenfold light that the Bible talks about getting brighter and brighter to the end. There were several other church age messengers. Martin and Wesley was one. Brother Branham, we could start speaking about these names. Put Brother Branham down as this very end time messenger, as if you followed the course of these seven messengers. But here's what I'm saying to you, is each messenger did not destroy the message of the previous messenger. They built upon it. And there was a message of faith that Luther caught him. He said, you know, this Catholic Church is trying to take and make this into rituals. You know, and they go through the ritualistics and the formalities for salvation. And he said, I'm reading in my word and my scriptures, and it's by faith. And he protested against these things. And Wesley come in with methods. And there was works. They always turn these works into denominations, is what they do. And as much as the Branham people heard, Brother Branham probably preached more against denominationalism than any other doctrine. He probably preached more against denominationalism than anything. He preached a lot of things. But they've basically denominationalized his work. They have a way of availing in their mind and their thoughts of thinking that they have not done that. And I can't indict all of the message churches. I'm not trying to do that, but I'm saying that most of them that would be spirit-filled, Holy Ghost-filled men would realize the failures within their brotherhood or within their group. You know, and I have to recognize the failures of the brethren that I came forth out of when I saved the Bethlehemites. And I got to recognize the failures of my fellow brethren and my own failures as well. I wrote a little writing and just put a little exhortation out, but I said, you know, because we recognize somebody else's failures doesn't mean we don't have them, or doesn't even mean that we've conquered them ourselves or make us any better. So oftentimes when we look at other people's failures, we all of a sudden want to step back and say, oh, I'm better than them. And the thing is you're just accountable is all you are. If you see failure within your brotherhood, you're accountable. God showed it to you not to smite, to kill, to step on, or destroy. That's what Satan does. He stands on a man's head when he's down. But sons of God, if you would follow the man, this good Samaritan, when he was going down Jericho Road and he found the man on the side of the road, half dead, naked, he took time and picked him up and bandaged his wounds, and he took him into an inn and helped him. And that's what the sons of God do. But we find bloodthirsty men and bloodthirsty women because of the satanic influence of their first birth. And you know, men and women alike would not consider themselves bloodthirsty or evil. But when they're blind to the evil wickednesses of their own ways, they would never see it. And they'll put you to death thinking they're doing God a service because they don't know the revelation of the Lord. You see, I could speak as the Son of Man did. And the Son of Man asked them, he said, for what good works have I done that you want to kill me or stone me? He said, what good works have I done? They said, no, it's not for the good works that you do. It's because you're a mere man making yourself to be God. And Jesus, again, his reply was, well, isn't it also written that you are gods? See, he wasn't anger. He didn't show strife, animosity, hate, bitterness. He just took time to counsel them. But then yet, how do you deal with when somebody opposes your doctrine or they oppose you? And you feel justified to retaliate. Retaliation is not of God. He said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You know, do good to them that despitefully use you. When they ask you to go a mile, go the extra mile with them. This is what we've got to come to. And I've said this a zillion times from the sacred desk, that when somebody is doing something that's around you or doing something, instead of you getting upset with them, you need to realize, say, now, wait a minute, God. The preparation of a man's heart's from you, and I know that you must have hardened this man's heart or blinded him in part, and there's a reason for that. You see, if I want to be a soul winner, I have to have the attributes of the Lord. Is that true? You know I have to be. The Bible said, either when souls are wise, where does wisdom come from? So if I'm going to be a soul winner, I'm going to have to bring forth the attributes of Christ. Now, if I would open up the scriptures and start reading to you in Galatians and start talking about the fruit of the Spirit, how would you know the fruit of patience or temperance or gentleness or kindness? There's got to be an opposing force. You see, if you come to me and say, Brother Rob, I love you. Man, I really appreciate you, brother, and I'm kind back to you. Hey, yeah, you know, I love you too. You say, well, there's your fruit of kindness. That has nothing to do with it right there. Let me tell you when the fruit of kindness of the spirit world comes in. See, man's kindness is you kind to me, I'm kind to you. And that's really a biblical principle. The Bible said, if you want friends, show yourself friendly. So it is a biblical principle. I'm not totally against it, but the kindness of God goes beyond that. You're kind to them that are trying to kill you, that hate you, that are crucifying you, and you're kind. Now you're showing the fruit of kindness. You see, when a man does you wrong and he says, I'm sorry, and you forgive him, that's one thing. But when you forgive one that isn't sorry, now you're showing a true fruit of forgiveness. You know, the Bible said a soft answer turns away wrath. Well, how are you going to know if you got the soft answer unless there's wrath in your faith? So God had to prepare somebody to perfect you, to mold you, to make you. And you're mad at them. You know, it's like, I've used this example not once, not twice, but many times, but if I wanted to be a boxer, do you realize that if I really want to be a boxer, and I have no desire, done been there, done that, got beat up, no. But if I wanted to be a boxer, I'm going to have to, if I'm in a professional world, I'm going to have to pay somebody to be a sparring partner. Do you realize that? I am going to have to pay somebody to get in the ring with me and fight with me, for I could learn moves and techniques. Some people in their Christianity, they want to get this little sissy sparring partner. You know, it's like, I'm going to go over to the queer community and find me a little skinny queer and say, yeah, I'm going to use you for my sparring partner. And then I can go out there and beat him up and feel like a macho man. But when I get into the real competition, you understand what I'm saying? I'm going to get my hind end beat. So I better get something good. Well, don't you think that God knows how to teach and train his soldiers? We're good soldiers for Christ, ain't we? That's what the Bible says. Don't you know that he knows how to train? You see, you've been sitting under too much doctrine of this, oh, Jesus loves you. And, you know, I'm not mocking that. He does love us so much that he gave his life, brothers and sisters. But he loves us so much that he chastens us. He said he chastens them that he loves. So then we're going to have to say, now, wait a minute. If I'm one of his children, now let me tell you something. If I walked out the door here and saw one of my grandchildren out here in the yard smoking, I'm going to bust their tail, right? But if I see the neighbor kid walking by there, I better not do that. You know why I don't do that? Because he's not mine. And God chastens his own. And if you're not being chastened according to the scriptures and the Bible, you're a bastard child. That means you've got no heavenly father. So if you're not being chastened for your wickedness, your foolishness, your ignorance, your rebellion, your hard-hearted, your stiff-necked, then you're just a bastard child on your way to hell. So then we don't need to despise chastening according to the scriptures. We need to walk in it. And know that it yields forth the righteous fruits, brothers and sisters, of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God. In teaching, training, edifying, and these things, if we are going to talk about production or producing fruit of the Spirit, there has to be an opposing force. You see, the Bible said that unless there's a travail, the child won't be born. There's a travail in childbearing is what the Bible says. Let me correct myself. Some of you mamas know that. Some of us dads was in the emergency room know it too. But if there is, again, looking at verse 1, and we were talking about in verse 2 about the allegories and stuff, and there's allegories of a woman in travail to bring forth a child, then we step into the next dimension, there's allegories of bringing forth the Christ child, and there's a travail. But see, we're in a day and hour that religion is offering a birth or a born again without no travail. They're offering that to you. And what's happened now, because of the rain, you know, the Bible says in Joel, it says, I'll pour my spirit out upon just the righteous, good, nice, perfect people and good flesh. It didn't say that. I'm not going to butcher the word, but I'm saying what it does say. He said, I'll pour my spirit out upon all flesh. All flesh. And all flesh has corrupted its way before God. So we find out that the Spirit of God is poured out on all of this corrupt world. Now, I had a couple preachers contest this with me the other day or a few weeks back. They got upset and they said that you're telling me that God blesses sin. I said, I didn't tell you that at all. I'm just telling you he pours out his spirit upon all flesh because that's what the Bible says. Comes on the just and the unjust. Do you know what the difference is between a just and an unjust? There's a difference. I'm justified by the works of Christ at Calvary. So I'm the just. And if you're spirit filled and born again, you're the just. The unjust are not justified because they've never come to be receiving the infilling of the Holy Ghost. They're unjust. But he's pouring his spirit out upon both of them. Do you realize that? And see, people will vindicate or say, well, I know this man's spirit filled. I know this man's got the Holy Ghost. You cannot tell that a man has the Holy Ghost by the rain coming on his flesh. He could prophesy. He could dance. He could cast out devils. He could do all these things. And it's the works of the Spirit in the outer garment of a man. But when a man is born of God, brethren, when he's born again, these works is coming from within his innermost being. And there is a difference. And most people would never be able to decipher or differentiate or discern the difference. But it's discernible. But it has to be spiritually discerned. Because if you try to use your intellectual skill and your training and your judgment and you look and say, oh, I know this is a man of God right here. Man, I heard him preach the gospel. Boy, and I felt the goosebumps up on the back of my neck. You know, this and that. You say, I know he's a son of God. Well, I'm telling you, you're judging in the wrong realm. It would deceive the very elect if it were possible. The Bible said it's them that endure to the end. You see, when we get into doctrines like backsliding, you see, you're not going to find no New Testament doctrine for backsliding. You say, oh, but there's a prodigal son in there. You know, and I know that, you know, he was backslid. Well, it said that he found himself in a pigsty. There was a desire to eat of it, but he didn't eat. Do you realize that? He did not eat of that shucks in the pigsty. You know, your doctrine of backsliding has changed at the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because he said he's healed our backsliding. Amen. So you say, well, you don't believe in backsliding, Brother Rom? I believe in the ones that do backslide. It was to be made manifest that they was never of God. And I got Bible for that too. It's a matter of coming to revelation and understanding and interpretation of the scriptures, and they have to be spiritually discerned. The Bible again says when they departed, it was to be made manifest that they was never of you. You see, because the sons of God are not going to depart. They're going to have endurance all the way to the end. So you say, well, I saw the works of the Spirit in their life, brother. I heard them preach. I saw them healings and these kind of things. And like I said, that's the rain coming on the just and the unjust. We're in a dispensation of grace right now. In the dispensation of grace, the sin of the flesh was done away with and atoned for by the Christ, by the Lord Jesus Christ. The sin of the soul is in the second dimension, and this is where we're in a travail and a fight and a warfare against spiritual principalities and powers and wickedness. So now we're in a fight. Now the thing is, with your lukewarm, Laodicean, dried up Christianity, well, I said the sinner's prayer. I asked Jesus into my heart. Now, I know this is insulting a lot of people. I believe in praying and confessing your sins. I believe in doing those things and asking the Lord into your heart. I'm not coming against that, but you got to go beyond that. And let me tell you something. If you go and purchase down at the nursery an apple tree and you plant it, you're going to be looking for apples on that tree. Or what's going to, the Bible says you take the axe and lay it to the root and you take the tree and you burn it if it's not producing fruit. So the thing is if you really believe that you have truly confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart, the thing is, and you're really truly a child of God, then you're going to bring product or produce from the Spirit of revelation. The Spirit of revelation is going to bring forth the fruit of the Holy Ghost, the fruit of the Spirit. And if you don't have the fruit of the Spirit in your life, you're just fooling yourself. Now the thing is you might see fleshly works in your life. Now, it's in the dispensation of grace, that carnal mind, that carnal man is going to rise up and he's going to want to utilize your members. He wants to use your body. Now, the thing is your flesh, if you're a man or a woman, your flesh shows the feminine. Now, the thing is that Jesus, when he washed and shed his blood, he made the bride without spot, wrinkle, and blemish, made her pure. Otherwise, if he had a relationship, a marriage relationship with a whore, it would make him a whore. And we know that he could not be such a thing. We're talking about our God, our Savior, our salvation with all purity, holiness, and godliness. So he made the woman without spot, wrinkle, and blemish, and pure, that he could come unto the woman in the marriage relationship, that the seed could be imparted into the woman to bring forth the Christ child. You're talking about being born again. You see, we got to realize that everything that is seen is an allegory to the real invisible spirit world. The whole marriage, the husband, the wife, the relationship, the children, is showing the spiritual reproduction. It's showing it in a carnal, natural thing, the things which do appear. We could see and comprehend and understand the invisible world. Now, we do know that the Lord, even though many of these great preachers have taught that this marriage was going to take place on the other side. When their Bible says there's no marriage, you're given to marriage in heaven. So then where's it taking place at? In the second heaven? I heard Brother Pike express something on a message. And I've expressed very similar, but I'd like the way he expressed it. And you know, I say so oftentimes when I'm speaking about the third heaven, the Bible refers to the third heaven. And I always say, well, if there's a third heaven, we know there's got to be a second and a first. Now, I'd be speculating or whatever if I said there was a fourth or a fifth. I couldn't have any Bible for that, but if I got Bible for the third, I got Bible for a second and a first. You know, he said that people had contested him on that. And he said, well, if they're going to contest me on this first, second, and third heaven, when the Bible said that the heavens and the earth shall pass away, then they ain't got no place to go. So there must be another one. I like that. And the thing is you say, is this earth going to pass away? Because, you know, let me tell you something. You say, I got Bible for that. I likewise have Bible that this earth abides forever. So which one are you going to believe? Are you showing me controversy in the Bible, Brother Rob? No, I'm showing you controversy in your carnal mind because you don't understand the scriptures. If I got a first and second and third heaven, which heaven's going to pass away? Is it the first? Is it the second? Is it the third? We know the third heaven won't because we know what it represents. But then yet I'm a man. And I could say that I was here before the foundation of the world. And you say, no, you was born in the 50s, Brother Rob. That's when, you know, you began. I said, not according to the scriptures. So I've got to differentiate. There's an earthen vessel. Okay, but when this earth goes through the metamorphosis, it'll pass away from what you know it now. And when I go through the metamorphosis, I've already passed away because I've been crucified with Christ. So the thing is the way you see me now and what you see me, you will no longer know me after this man, which you're commanded not to know me after the flesh now. But you can't do that unless you're spiritual. The only way you could do that is by the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I said you don't know who you are because you don't know who they are. If you can't see the works of Christ in another man, you'll never see it in yourself because you're puffed up and thinking too highly of yourself and you're in love with yourself. You got to get over that. You got to start falling in love with Jesus. And when you fall in love with Jesus, you become one with him. When you become one with him, you got the same mind that he had. And his mind was to do good to them and to love them, to help them, to build them, encourage them. Let me tell you something. When you know somebody's going to do you wrong and you love them anyway, and they do it, you'll reap dividends and rewards that are eternal. You see, to reap spiritual dividends or things, there's a price to pay on this side. You know, and I know Calvinists don't like these things and this kind of thing, but the Bible said, talks about suffering and the benefits of it. Well, I don't want to suffer. Preacher came in this church and he said, Jesus done all the suffering for us at Calvary. We don't have to suffer. Well, somebody need to go talk to Brother Paul and Stephen. Did Stephen suffer? You know he did. Stephen suffered. They stoned him to death. I'll tell you, there was some suffering in that, but he looked up towards heaven. He said, I see the heavens open. Amen. And he was testifying God. Why? Because the Bible said before the rocks were thrown, he said that he was a man filled with the Holy Ghost. And when Peter came in there on the day of Pentecost, he stood before those people after he was filled. This was the guy that ran. This was the guy that hid out. This was the one that denied Christ. That morning when they took Jesus in, he denied him twice that morning. Before the cock crew. And the same one, after got filled with the Holy Ghost, he stood before the same ones that beat and crucified the Lord Jesus. And he testified. He said, the God in whom you crucified the Lord Jesus is why I stand here today. Boldness of the Holy Ghost. Stephen, boldness of the Holy Ghost. Paul went in before him and they were going to pull him in half. I believe at Ephesus. They were going to pull him in half. You know, but he was a man full of the Holy Ghost. You see, brethren, we've got to understand this spirit-filled life. The spirit-filled life, many people, they want the, you know, the Bible said we are benefactors of the things of God. And we become one with Him and receive everything that pertaineth unto life. I understand that. But we get this natural life and the spiritual life intermingled together. Now, let me tell you something. If we seek the things of the invisible world, of the spirit world, the things from above, will be benefactors in this natural world. We could receive healing in our body. We could receive prosperity in this world. But when those things turn us away, do you realize that God would rather see a man suffer in his flesh than he would stay cease from sin? He would rather do that. I had a conversation with my son today. I don't want to wear the guy out every time I talk to him. But he was talking to me about some things. And I said, Rob, I said, one of these days, you're going to realize that God, all He wants from you is to submit. And He could bless you. He could bless you and you can prosper. You can have peace and things. But why are people so blind that they see that God blows on their substance, on their activities, their businesses and everything they do? Because He would rather see a man stumble around through this world and accomplish and be with nothing and repent and come into the kingdom as a man be blessed and wealthy. A man gets blessings and wealthy. The rich answer haughtily. My son deals with haughtiness anyway. So if he was rich, he'd really have a problem. He needs to get filled with the Holy Ghost and get born again. And then God could prosper him and bless him in a mighty way. He's allowing his family to come to church and encourages them and those things. And God could bless him for that. But God's more interested in him. People don't think that way. But I'm trying to teach you how to think like a man of God and a child of God and a son of God. You see, we get too much attention and too much looking at the temporal things of this world. It's like a vapor and a mist. It's here for a minute and it's gone. You know, and if this world is temporal and it's here for a moment and gone, then why do we get so much attention towards it? You know, I heard a man one time speaking about trying to define eternity. You know, and I know you've heard this, but they take a sparrow and he goes over here and transfers the whole Mojave Desert over here in Arizona, and he picks up one little grain of sand, flies all the way across the Atlantic and goes over there to the Sahara Desert and drops it off and comes back and gets another grain of sand. And by the time he moves that whole desert, that's the beginning of eternity. Now see, that's uncomprehendable to your mind. But that is a beautiful allegory to think of the beginning of eternity. But if we could get into that kind of a mindset, and in here you got a promise of 70 years, you're thinking of, you know, this man's numbers or whatever, and you know, maybe your fortune would be 150. But what is that when you think of the spiritual world? And Satan, you know, the Bible said to serve God in your youth. And Satan wants to take you when you're young and start getting your mind. and start taking your mind and teaching you to sit. And when you're listening to a preacher like me, you'll sit in your mind and your little mind will spin and it'll be spinning and you got another idea and a better way. And what makes him think he knows the way? And then maybe if God tarries, and maybe he tarries and you find the suffering and you bury loved ones and you've got the scars and the bruises and the things, then you might think, you know what? I should have listened. That preacher was right. He did know what he was talking about. And all it is love. But again, because the doctrine of the television evangelist, the doctrines that have gone forth, you see, they would listen to me and think, well, you're just taking away the mercy of God and the love of God. No, I'm standing here because of the love of God and the mercies of God. But God teaches us to be soldiers for Christ. A soldier is one that keeps himself unspotted from the affairs of the world. My grandson is learning to be a natural soldier right now. You know, a few weeks ago, he had a little phone with him all the time. He could talk on it, text on, do what he wanted. He ain't had that luxury now. They're teaching to be a soldier. He's unspotted. He's disconnected from this world right now. Disconnected from mom's mind, dad's mind, whoever's mind. And they're making him into a soldier. You see, if we're reading here about allegories, types, and channels, what is the allegory of that? You see, we've been in boot camp. I wrote him a letter the other day and I said, son, I said, let me tell you something. Speaking of my grandson. I said, let me tell you something. I said, I saw the soldier in you long before you went to the military. I said, you were being molded and I saw the man. Not speaking of the masculine things that he'll gain in the army for masculinity and being a man that way. I said, I saw the man in you before you ever went. He didn't. What most people don't know is that there was so much belittling and so much beating down and tell them that they're not no good and they're not where they'd never be account to nothing and this and that out of envy and strife and jealousies. That he was beat down so much that this was his avenue out for he can find and prove that he is a man. I'm sorry to say those things like that, brothers and sisters, but I'm just telling you, I have to spiritually analyze all things that are taking place. If I can, I got no business with this job and I need to pray and get somebody in here that could lead and see. We got to see beyond the veil and see what it is in the spiritual realm of what's going on. Sometimes people will come to you and say things. You got to discern what they're saying. Because a lot of times they're saying maybe something because they're blind and they really don't see, but you got to get beyond what they're saying and discern the Spirit of God and discern the Spirit and find out what is speaking unto you. We were reading here a minute. I'm going to close right promptly here, but let me make sure we can square up here with the scriptures a little bit. It says, all did drink the same spiritual drink, and they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. Now, listen to me. You're talking about God's elect. Now, we've got to find a pattern how God deals with his elect. Do you know the Bible said some shorten their number of days by disobedience? Do you realize a person could really be born again and God could take them off the scene that they pay with their own blood? Do you realize that? Now, you want to get into the blood of Jesus. If you want to get into that, we can go into it. We're going to take some time here tonight. But people keep pleading the blood of Jesus and pleading the blood of Jesus. But that blood atonement was for the Adamic nature of your fall, of Adam's fall. And it removed that away. And now you're accountable. You see, the Bible said there remaineth no more sacrifice for willful sin. Now, the thing is, if man shortens the number of his days, you know, that could be the elect of God. Some make it in with their rewards all burned up. They got no reward on the other side. Now, let me tell you the average teaching of most preachers are going to take you over to the 11th hour worker. And they're going to go over and say, oh, this one started early in the morning and he got a day's wages. But this one didn't come in till 10 o'clock and he got the same wage. This one came over at noon, he got the same wage. This one came over at 5. And these lying preachers will tell you that we all get the same reward. That's a lie. The Bible said, make yourself faithful over the little things, and it'll make you ruler over greater things or many things. The Bible talks about a greater damnation. Do you realize that the punishment and the torment of hell, there's going to be some with greater damnation and greater punishment? Hey, none of it's going to be good. And let me tell you, the ones that make it into eternal life is all going to be blessed. But if the unseen world, the invisible world, is shown by the things which do appear, you better start realizing not everybody's the president of this country, and not everybody's living in Skid Row. You understand there's a vast difference of life in this thing. And it's the same way in spirit life. You know, it didn't say that we were all going to be sitting around the throne, but there was the 24 elders around the throne. Brethren, these were big men and were faithful. And I know that our 12 apostles will be there, not Judas. The other brother they brought in, he's going to be sitting around there. You know, and we're going to have the 12 leaders of those 12 different tribes of Israel. They're going to be sitting there. Now, we're going to be around the throne also as the sons of God, brethren. But let me tell you, there's an order of headship and submission through the kingdom. So the thing is when we read in the scriptures, and what did he say here? It says, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, and for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were our examples. Now, it just tells us why those things were there. For why? For whose example? Ours. Oh, but this merciful God, he took his own elect, opened up the ground and swallowed up thousands of them. And then we'd be in the sons of God and we go, oh, well, it's all under the blood. Hallelujah. And we find our days shortened. We find ourselves bearing children and things if we're not careful. We better get right with God is what we better do. Verse 6 again. Now, these things were our examples. To the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Peter got rebuked. He savored the things of the flesh. When you savor the things of preservation to your natural life instead of laying it down for God, you'll die. And he'll say, get you behind me, Satan. You see, we're supposed to be willing to lay our life down. And when we do, you know, this ain't good for me, or I don't benefit from this, or thus, thus, thus. You just ain't in the mind of Christ. You got to get in the mind of God. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Boy, if that's not ever happening in this day. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples. And they are written for our admonishing, upon whom the end of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. How do people have room for arrogance in the spiritual world? Think about it. I mean, these people that are just so arrogant, you know, and they're just so confident and so cocky. And boy, they just talk, you know, man, I don't care what you say. I know I'm a son of God. I'm blessed. They got no fear of God. Yes, I got a confidence. I know I've been filled with the Holy Ghost and God saved my soul. And God saved me, not by my goodness, by His goodness and His righteousness. And I stand with a testimony of that. And I overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I do realize that. But I'm talking about an arrogance. I've had people, man, with a whore under their arm, cigarette hanging out of their mouth, breathing alcohol on me, sit there and talking and telling me that they're a son of God, and they know that if they died that they would make it in. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about arrogance of flesh. You know, they're foolish. I had a woman tell me the other day that, you know, if we would have understood what her father taught about the revelation and that we cannot sin, that we wouldn't have been upset with the preacher that runs off with another woman in the church and violates a family. Oh, if we knew that he can't sin, we wouldn't have, you know, done that. Let me tell you, when you get a report of a preacher runs off with another man's wife or another woman, and you think that preacher's got the Holy Ghost, you're a fool. You're corrupting our God. That man can't have the Holy Ghost. That man is a heathen and needs to get born again. He might get born again after he goes through the fire. He might get born again, but sons of God ain't out molesting women and violating homes Amen. They are not. I don't care how well you heard them preach. I don't care if they could teach better than anybody you ever met. And you love them however you want to love them. They are a heathen and they need to get born again. And if you think the blood of Jesus allows a man that calls himself a preacher to go violate homes and rape women, molest women, and do all those kind of things, then you're all I could say is you got to be one of the biggest kind of fools there ever was. Don't get me stirred up. You love the Lord? I guess we're verse 12 here. Wherefore let him that think he standeth take heed lest he fall. See, we're talking about overconfidence right there. Well, bless God, I know who I am. You're going to be knocked on your hind end is what's going to happen. The only way you are where you're at is because you're saying, God, have mercy on me. I'm in my weakness. I'm going to call out for his strength. Amen. When you stand before your Lord, your God, and your Savior and said, I desire help. I desire strength. I desire wisdom. I desire understanding. You'll find it. But when you stand before him with your chest out, boy, I'll tell you what, you really picked a good one here, Lord. Boy, you know I'm the one. I'm the man. I got the understanding. I got the revelation. I understand this. Nobody else does, but I do. That man is the biggest kind of ignorant or woman that there ever was. Because let me tell you, when you stand in the presence of God, you might think you're something, but all of a sudden you'll know you're nothing. You might think that you got strength, but all of a sudden your knees buckle before you, and you can't even hold yourself up. You can't even pick up your head and look, and you'll find yourself shuddering in the presence. And until you have an experience like that, then you're going to walk around in nothing but some kind of an arrogance. Pray that God would grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Amen. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptations also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. You're inexcusable. You see, when we go out and do these things, we make the word a lie. Oh, well, I just couldn't help the devil. The devil ain't got no power over you if you're a son of God. You got all authority, and God's not going to allow him to tempt you greater than what you could do. He showed the strength when we got stories like Job in the Bible. Look what that brother went through to show the suffering of Christ. Look what that brother went through to show the endurance of sons of God. I mean, he lost everything. He lost his wealth. He lost his families. Lost his children. Lost his health, lost his strength, everything. And he would not bow down to the enemy and curse God. His wife said, just curse him and die. But he didn't do it, did he? Why? It's the same thing. We got to have that same strength today. Be ye filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup of blessings which we bless, it is not the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, it is not the communion of the body of Christ. For we being many are one bread and one body, and we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifice partakers of the altars? What I say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered sacrificed idols is anything. But I say that the thing which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. Boy, they're sure not. I wonder why we leave that scripture out sometimes. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Boy, if we can come to that revelation, man, I'll tell you, you'll prosper. God will open up the floodgates of heaven for you. Whatsoever is sold in shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience. There's a lot of revelation right here in this that we could expound on, but I'm going to close. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast and you be disposed to go, whatever is set before you eat, asking no question for conscience sake. But if a man say unto you, This is offered in sacrifice unto idols. Eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I wish I could take time to expound on that. Let's go on. Conscience, I say not thy own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged for another man's conscience? We went into some scriptures on that just the other night, if you remember. For if I by grace be partakers, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whether ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be blessed. Pray that God grant unto you the spirit of revelation, brothers and sisters, that the word could come alive in a way that never has before to you. We're a people in a time and a day and an hour right now that we need to start differentiating this word and letting this word fully come alive to us. You know, the word of God just at face value is rich. It's pure, it's clean, it's godly, it's holy, it's righteous, it's edifying, it's encouraging, it's great. But when we can get beyond, you see, beyond the surface, it's like my father said one time, he said, I've observed that all of the rich things are down, have to dig for them to get them. The diamonds ain't laying on the top of the ground, nor is the gold. They got to get down in equipment and bust into the rocks and bust into these veins and find the gold and find the diamonds. The pearl divers give their life diving down for that pearl of great price and to get that thing. And the precious things are that way. And that's the way it is in God's word. We could read it as a surface value and say, oh boy, this is okay. Praise God, man. It's good. But we need to get into the meat of the word and desire the meat and the depths, the heights, depths, widths, and lengths of the word of God. There's things we can get into an allegorical world and we could start looking at the patterns, the types of shadows and these kind of things. That's wonderful. But many do those things and don't have the revelation. I made a statement, you can have works without faith, but you cannot have faith without works. And you can have an allegory, type, and shadow world without revelation. But if you have revelation, you'll have that world. But see, some have substituted it, just as they've substituted the infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And I'm not coming against tongues, by no means. I believe in speaking in tongues, and I could probably truthfully say that I speak in tongues more than all of you, as Brother Paul made that same expression. But the thing is they've taken and exchanged it for the infilling of the Holy Ghost. There's too many tongue-talking devils out there. There's too many people that praise Him with their lips, but their heart is far from Him. You know, we got to examine our hearts. See if we be in the faith. See if we're really in love with Jesus and if we're really pressing our way into the things of God. This world's here just for a moment. It's wrapping up quick. There's so many things that are showing. This oil that they're going forth up here on the northern borders of America and on the Canadian borders where they're gleaning these oils out of the sand and they're doing this new kind of a production and it's really booming up there. That's showing the final gleaning. The oil has to do with the Spirit of God and the Holy Ghost. And there was a time they tapped down in and they pumped the abundance of the oils out of the ground and different things. And we got warnings back in the 70s as we started seeing the Spirit of God departing away from our nation. We started seeing when they brought the first Catholic president into our country into the 60s, and we started seeing the corruption coming into the White House. And you say, well, I think there was corruption before that, but not to the magnitude that it is now. My father's back here 80-some years old, and when he was a child, he was raised up in a heathen home. I mean, and I don't mean to sound offensive, but he wasn't raised up as a churchgoer. But his parents had enough sense not to let him play with Catholic children. You know, that sounds, you know, you can't even imagine that. But his mom and dad, when they moved into town up in Spring, they said, you can't play with them. They're Catholics. Now think about that. I married one. I wonder what happened. You know, and I was a heathen and they wanted me to get married in the Catholic church. And I had enough sense. I wouldn't even do that. So I got married by a woman. I didn't know the difference. There ain't no difference between a woman preacher and a Catholic priest, I'm sorry to say. She was a judge, I think, which we redid our vows. Help me, Jesus. Amen. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Let's stand together. I love the Lord. I told you that Brother Pike was talking to me in the parking lot after he'd seen me up here, or it was before. He said, Brother Rob, he said, there's one very commendable thing about you. He said, you're sincere with God. And he said, when a man's sincere, he'll have problems. He may have his crash ups or whatever. But he said, God will help him, restore him, and pick him up and keep him going. And I could tell you this, I love the Lord. And I am sincere. I mean that with all my heart. I love him. I make an endeavors and an activity to teach, to preach, to encourage, to edify people. And I do truly make an attempt. But there again, you know, when you have spots and blemishes in the Feast of Charity, and as I ministered a message that God has a Judas, he had to have a Judas. So don't be discouraged. We've got to be smitten. We've got to be smote, smacked, beat, lied against. It's just God's way. And we can keep loving. You know what? It's an awesome thing to be able to love somebody that hates you. That shows the love of God. It's an awesome thing to do good to them that despitefully use you. Have any of you practiced that? Or do you just turn away from them? You say, well, Brother Rob, I know of people you put out and broke fellowship. That's because they called themselves a brother and they walked disorderly. But God's still going to send them in. And we've got to allow those things to take place and happen for you to see the love of God. Amen. As the man was in my face the other day, and I just looked him in the eye and I said, I love you. He said, you're fake. You're a hypocrite. He said, you're polished. You think you're something. And I just said, I love you. He didn't like that. He wanted to rile me up. He wanted me to get upset. And I said, no, I love you. He said, no, you don't love me. And I said, no, sir, I do love you. But I said, you're very difficult to like. I probably shouldn't have said that. That was my moment of flesh maybe there for a minute. You know, there was another guy dwelling that was in the outer members of my flesh that said, I'm going to show this guy how much I don't love him. I'm going to knock him into next week. But I didn't let him speak. I didn't let him talk. I kept him mortified. I kept him killed. I kept him dead. And I told him to shut his mouth. I'm a man just like you're a man. Somebody start calling you, telling you this and that. There's going to be someone to rise up. I feel them things. You can feel it. You know when that old man starts rising up? I say, wait a minute, you got me in a lot of trouble, sir. You got me in a lot of trouble, so you better just back him down there a little bit. So why did that guy come and was in my face? Was it for his growth or mine? What was it for? This man, with the spirit he's got, will probably find himself in eternal damnation. I don't hope that. I don't wish that. I honestly don't. I tried to be kind, and I tried to speak favorable and kind to him. You see, the thing is, it doesn't matter if he is elect or not God's elect. If he is God's elect, he grieved the Spirit of God and he'll pay a price for his foolishness. But if he's not, he'll pay on the other side. The Bible said some men's sins go before and some after. Some don't know what that means. But let me tell you something. If you're a child of God and you do something like that, your sins will come before and you'll pay on this side. Amen. You'll pay with suffering and loss. You know when he talks about cutting holes in pockets? That's chastening his. You understand that? And blowing on his. Let me tell you, there's other people that rob God and rob God and rob God and rob God and rob God. They just go on and they're blessed. But they're not his children. But he does chasten his children. That's why I feel real good about my son. I've been watching his life. He's a good kid. He loves people. He wants to help people. There's a really good guy in there. You know, but he just tossed to and fro because the love of the world. And God blows on everything he does. Blows on it. Blows on it. Blows on it. You say, well, maybe he's in a good thing now. Maybe he'll prosper. Maybe he'll be over there repenting then. Because if he doesn't repent and he doesn't give his life to God, if he starts prospering, it's a death sentence. It's a sign and a way of a death certificate for him. If he starts prospering and benefiting and really getting blessed, well, I pray in his children or my grandchildren, I want him to prosper enough to keep his family fed.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? I do want to see that. But I'm talking about the dream, the visions of wealth and rich and making a good living and buying homes and motorhomes. If a kid walks into that, just it's a death certificate. You sign a death certificate for him. That's all it is. Because if he prospers, he has no repentance towards God. But one day he's going to wake up and say, I see what my Lord and God is doing. And I better surrender. Amen. The rod is full of the fool's back. All he's got to do is repent. Amen. You know, all he's got to do is repent. He ain't done nothing any of you ain't done. We've all rebelled against God and failed and we've done things. We can see others' failures, but we can't see our own. All right, let's sing a song. We'll close the service. I love y'all and appreciate you. And I appreciate you being in the house of God this evening. Amen. Pray for me as I pray for you. And I
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.